This morning, we looked at the farewell message of a faithful servant. The farewell message of a faithful servant, Joshua. And what an encouragement that he was and is as he exhorted these three different groups before he would leave on to glory. He sought to make an impact, a lasting impact, and he did. He certainly did. And tonight, I'd like, with God's help, to talk about and to just bring a message how we can have, I would say, the most effective impact on the next generation. And we could title tonight's message of how we can inspire the next generation to serve Jesus Christ. And I want us to first look at the communication and serving. Remember, there was a miscommunication, and they were able to solve this problem, and I'm thankful they were. But notice when they were going to explain to the group that came out from the Western tribes, that were the Western tribes were the ones concerned that, hey, our brothers are basically going in idolatry. We got to get over there quick. And if they're really doing this, we're going to go to war and we'll destroy them. Because if we don't, God's going to destroy us all. So they took it very seriously. Yes, they may have acted a little too quickly, a little maybe overzealous. But nevertheless, when they got there, the Eastern tribes did explain the purpose of the memorial that they had put. Now notice with me in chapter 22 and verse 27. It says, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us. Now, the significance I want to bring out tonight is the witness of our generations, plural, after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before Him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore, said we, that it shall be when they should say to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. And of course, they would go on to explain that we are in no way rebelling against God. It is a testimony to our children and to your children that we do serve the one true God. And we want that to be very apparent and clear to our children. And so my encouragement to you tonight and for us is for us to impact the next generation, we must have a service that is five characteristics that I'd like to give. Five ways to inspire the next generation for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice with me also, as you remember this message to the children of Israel, we notice that three different times the children of Israel, notice with me chapter 24, three different times they said, after Joshua gave the testimony, as for me and my house, that's in verse 15. They said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, they will respond to that three different times that are basically saying, we will too. Now, as we saw, Joshua was a little bit skeptical of how quickly they responded. He challenged them and said, you're not going to be able to do this without God. Remember, He is holy. He's not just, as some would depict, some grandfather figure with a cane and ready to pat the kids on the back and it's going to be okay. That's not the character of God. He is certainly compassionate and loving and gracious, but He's also holy and just and an almighty, powerful God. And He has all authority. And he expects complete and 100% allegiance and obedience. And that's what Joshua really wanted to stress. And they said, we know, and we're going to serve the Lord. And he says, well, all right, well, get the strange gods out of your place. And I've put here in my Bible, I've underlined that, the strange gods, and it's something I want to pray, and I want to encourage you to pray this in your life. Lord, what are the strange gods in my life? What are they, Lord? Ask it often. Ask it often, because they do. They come. They're strange. And when I say strange here, I want to say sometimes they come unexpectedly. They come subtly. And they may seem strange to you because maybe they don't seem like a problem. But if it is in any way deterring us from loving God supremely and living for Him faithfully, it's become a strange God. It's become a lowercase g God. And we certainly do not want to be guilty of that. So what we have here is Joshua is going to, he's going to pass off into eternity, being 110 years old. We find that in verse 29. And he goes on to talk about where he would be buried. It gives the account of not only Joshua, but of Joseph's bones being buried. And also the other leaders that served in that time, they buried them. The Eleazar, the son of Aaron, they buried him as well. And then it goes into Judges. And I want to just draw your attention briefly over to Judges chapter 2. It picks up where Joshua leaves off. And notice with me, after Joshua has been buried, again, it's picking up where it left off. I love verse 7 says that all the people serve the Lord. Get this. All the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. In other words, when Joshua died at 110 years old, there were others that were leaders at that time or that were younger than Joshua that would continue living. And at that time, people were still serving the Lord. They were abstaining from idols. They were not adopting and adapting the pagan practices of the world and mixing in, marrying other unbelievers. And they were maintaining a strong testimony. And so we understand that. Then it says, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. So you skip down to verse 10. And this is so important. You ought to underline this verse in your Bible and let it be a challenge to you tonight. Because it says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose, you ought to underline this, another generation after them. And the next phrase, what does it say? What are the next five words? Which knew not the Lord. Which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Why did they not know the works that God had done for Israel? And what a challenge to me tonight as a daddy and as a husband, as a pastor, to constantly keep my steadfast focus on the greatness and the goodness of God. Letting my children hear about that often, but not just hear about it. And this is what I think is going to make the difference. They need to hear it. But brothers and sisters, they need to see it. They need to see it. Brother Mark talked about it in his Sunday school this morning and finished up chapter 3. And it just talked about, you know, the difference Paul's life made and his impact on others. And as he didn't claim in any way sinless perfection. But he certainly pressed toward that. He was apprehending it because he had been apprehended by the love of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. Has your heart been arrested by the love of Jesus? That's a great arrest, by the way. If we can speak of getting locked up in good terms, wouldn't you say that getting our heart locked up by the love of God is a good thing? And that's what had happened. And listen, leaders, this is what's going to make the difference. The next generation, they need to hear it. They should hear it. But may God help us. May they see it as well. May they see it in your life. In my life, that is genuine. It's authentic. I believe they saw it in Joshua's life. And I trust that they'll see it in ours. Let me share with you five ways to inspire the next generation to serve Jesus Christ. Now, unless I be mistaken, I believe I alluded to it this morning. And referring to our example is not a guarantee that our children of the next generation will follow Christ. But what it does, it certainly inspires them to have an opportunity. It gives them that opportunity. It doesn't guarantee it, but it certainly gives them a pathway for it. So would you write these down very quickly? Five ways to inspire the next generation to serve Jesus Christ. Number one, these will all begin with serve in. Because we're servants of God, we must serve in truth. Now, when Joshua challenged these people of Israel, we see one thing that was very common. He always gave focus to following the commandments of God. That is truth. And let me say it like this. We need to be living and serving in a way that's consistent with the Word of God. Living and serving in a way that's consistent with the Word of God. Why? Because not just in this generation, but in generations before, we talk about the 60s when it was all about love and the hippie movement. But I think we all understand this. That just wasn't in the 60s. That was in the 50s and the 40s and the 30s and the 20s. It was back in the book of Judges. There has always been, the human heart is inclined to make truth relative. What feels good, what makes you feel good and what makes me feel good, that is truth. And so what we have to do is we have to say, no, that's not what truth is. Because if you think about it, that's what happened in Romans when Paul wrote to Romans in chapter 1, verse 25. Notice what he says here. He says, speaking of those that rebelled against the revelation of God, he says this. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, the human heart is born into this world with self being God. That's all of us. That was my God. Brinson was my God. The desires of Brinson, the passions of Brinson, that was my God. I did what I felt was right. But then I was given the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, and realized that actually truth is what's important. And so therefore, when I am living and serving, I serve not just by feeling, I serve in truth. Paul challenged the Corinthians there in 1 Corinthians. He says, whatsoever you do. He says, whatsoever you do. He says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the what? Glory of God. So how does that look in practical life? Well, what do my kids see me doing each day? My wife, and what do the kids see me as? What are you seeing as I'm your pastor? I mean, it's one thing to say that you do, but and what you eat and drink, but is that what they see me do? And you do? Are you doing what you're doing for the glory of God because it's based on truth, not what's just convenient or what's relative or what's popular? It's not that. It's truth. And I believe our kids will see that and it will make a difference. You know, when we focus on truth, it gives us discernment. And I'm reminded recently that as I heard this quote, that discernment is not a matter of simply telling the difference between right and wrong. Rather, it's the difference. It's telling the difference between right and almost right. Or the difference between what's good and what's best. And so God will give you discernment based on His truth, and will help you to serve in truth. But not only that, but we are to serve in love. What is the greatest commandment that Jesus gave? Yes, love the Lord your God with all your being. And that goes back to what is serving the Lord. It's loving the Lord supremely. It is loving Him with all of your being, your heart, your soul, your body, your mind, your strength, everything that's within you. And that's what the generation needs to see. We're not doing it just to check off a list. We're not doing it to go through religious rituals. We're not doing it just to follow tradition. We're doing it because first God loved us. And now, in return, because He loved us, we love Him. And we serve in love. And that's our prayer, is that our hearts will be doing what we're doing, not because we have to, but because we want to. And I believe I'm right in saying this, that service without love is both tedious and aggravating. It is. It will be aggravating because you can serve somebody, but without a spirit of love, it's just going to be frustrating. And our generation sees that. I find it interesting that you look at 1 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, the major emphasis in those two chapters are ministry. Using our gifts for the Lord, serving the Lord. What is located right between chapter 12 and chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians? What did I say? Yeah, chapter 13. What's located between 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, and Dan said it, and he's right. It's chapter 13, which is what? The love chapter. The whole chapter is really committed to agape biblical love. And Paul starts out where if you have all these gifts and abilities and passions and things and you have not love, he said it's vain. He says it's bubbles. It's just soap bubbles. He said it's not going to amount to anything. But, and he goes and defines what biblical love is. You know, when we think about serving in love, I think about 1 Thessalonians 1:3 when Paul says, look, I've remembered you, church. I've remembered the church of Thessalonica without ceasing your work of faith. And this next phrase he says, and labor of love. Labor of love. This is a love that works and that we serve in. I think of God's view of service and love. Hebrews 6:10 says this, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. That's what God says. He says, when you have showed toward His name and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. In other words, you have served and you have done it in love. And God doesn't forget about that, friends. the things you do, whether it's a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. That's not insignificant with God. These areas of service that we have, that we've put out, and don't look at any of those as insignificant. And you may do something that's not even on that list, and you still get credit for it. Don't think that you have to have the list to be able to get credit for it. No, God's looking at the heart. He's looking at what you desire to do. And as I think upon this next generation, I don't want them to see, this is what I don't want to see. And I'm just going to be very transparent. Maybe some of you parents can relate with me on this. But what I don't want to do is this. I don't want to serve to impress. Because that's a big turnoff to the younger generation. It's not authentic. I'm serving the Lord so that people can look at us and say, well, that's a squared away family. That's a squared away person. You know, God sees the heart on that. And a test on that is this. When your children when they do wrong, and they will do wrong, just like we do, it's one of these things. And it's something that's been convicting to me. Does it embarrass us because people saw reality? And we're ashamed because we're not serving in love. We're serving for fame. We're serving for impression and impressing people. No, I tell you one thing. We need to serve in love, and we need to be together in love, and we show that love to one another. We serve the brethren. We serve this world. We serve God Almighty, and we do it for His glory. You say, how do we serve the world? We serve the world with the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we do. And we do it because we love God. And I'm thankful for the grace of God that helps us with that. But number three, not only do we serve in truth and we serve in love, but then we serve in joy. Now, this will help the next generation because some Christians serve, looks like they've been sucking on lemons all day. They just look mad, they look discontent, they look aggravated and grumpy, and you know, maybe they do have indigestion that day. And that's understandable. We're not saying that we need to be artificial, okay? We don't need to say we just need to be superficial, but frankly, you know, the generations around us need to know that it's a blessing to serve Jesus. I love to serve the Lord. I'm having the best time of my life. I love pastoring this church. I love being here with my family. I love being able to be in Jackson County. I just love it. And I hope you love where God's got you every day. I hope you love being at this church. I hope you do love serving. And I hope that that joy and love is there even when things aren't going well. Because that's what they need to see. Because if the next generation sees us pouting, complaining, and grumbling when things aren't going our way, that's a turnoff. It's a turnoff. Well, they're only happy when things are going well. Now they know we're human. We're all human. But boy, oh, Daddy walked in church. Boy, he was smiling like crazy, but he was grumpy this morning. Daddy's preaching on joy, come home all grumpy and everything. I say that, and we do laugh because we're human, but at the same time, I say that, and I tremble. Because I do want the joy in my heart to be consistent. I want my kids to know there's no greater joy than to walking in truth. No greater joy than loving and serving Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that my kids won't have to go what I went through in order to discover that. Because I've been on the other side. I've seen the heartbreak and the brokenness and the scars and the turmoil from it when I was deceived. Nearly destroyed me. And I am thankful for God's mercy. But I want to tell you tonight, those that are serving the Lord, I hope when that ministry you sign up for, that class you're teaching, that whatever you're doing here at Crooked Creek or wherever, I hope you do it with the joy of the Lord. If you look at it as aggravating and tedious and drudgery, my admonition would be don't do it. Just wait and or either just have a heart change. Because our kids and our folks around us, this next generation needs to say that it is. It's awesome. It's awesome to serve Jesus. Can I say this? Joy is not primarily an emotion. It's an act of obedience. People look at joy as an emotion. That can be an emotion. But it's more of an act of obedience. That's why Paul gave the command, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, again, I know this is elementary, but Paul did not say, now rejoice when you have a lot of money in the bank. Rejoice when there's no sickness in your life. Rejoice when everything is going your way. Rejoice when the sun's shining. Rejoice when there's no bills coming in your mailbox. Oh, why is that? Because joy is not an emotion. It's an act of obedience. And this is one thing we're all learning as Christians. We obey the Lord and we let emotions follow later. We let emotions catch up. We do what's right and let the emotions catch up. And they will eventually. So don't think yourself a hypocrite if you read your Bible and you don't feel like reading it. Amen? You don't feel like it, read it anyway. God will use it. Don't feel like a hypocrite. You don't feel like praying, pray anyway. You don't feel like it's going through the ceiling, pray anyway. Praise God. And rejoice and let this next generation see that what the world offers, when it offers happiness and joy, it's all but a season and temporary and has no eternal significance. And it's not deep-seated joy. But thank God we can serve the Lord. I don't know that I've learned the way Brother Moody learned this. But he, after a prayer meeting, I think he was about midway through his ministry. And he was one of the most used evangelists in all of the world. Especially an American evangelist. He traveled all over, huge crusades, just multitudes and multitudes, thousands of people saved under his ministry. And he pastored there at the Moody Church in Chicago. And he said he got about halfway through his ministry. And it was after a prayer meeting. Some people were praying over him and he was praying. And he said just God met with him. And he made this quote after that meeting. He said this, I used to carry buckets for Jesus, but now I've found a river that's carrying me. And I think upon that quote, and D.L. Moody basically went from what we're talking about. He didn't have joy. It was just painful in many ways, a pain in the neck. Oh, yeah, I'll go and preach the gospel, you know. Yes, we'll go here and go there. And it just felt like a big weight on his life. And when he became in touch with God in a more intimate level and he was filled with the Spirit of God, he realized that it is the Holy Spirit that's carrying him like a wave through this life. And that's not saying it's all easy and just everything's going to work out. I mean, everything's just going to feel good. That's not what he's saying at all. And that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there's one thing. There is a difference when you are serving with the joy of the Lord. But then fourthly, not only do we serve in truth and serve in love and serve in joy, but we serve with determination. We serve with determination. Who here can quote 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Anybody just want to quote it right off? We can read it together if you want to turn there. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. It says, therefore, we'll read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. When you get there, can you say amen? All right. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Let's read it together. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing you do for Jesus Christ is a waste. It's an investment. What you do for Jesus is counting. It is impacting those around you. It is helping them. And we need to understand. That's why Paul said about the trials and his determination, none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear unto myself. I'm so thankful to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just been so good to me. I know my mother-in-law is certainly had her moments since she found out, you know, about a month or two ago that she indeed did have breast cancer. But one thing I've witnessed in Mamita the flesh is that she hadn't lost the joy of the Lord. She hadn't shaken her love for Christ. And I think of my father-in-law, Dadite the flesh, and the things that he's gone through. And of course, Grandpa and Grandma, the kids affectionately call, and they've been faithful through the many years, and they've been consistent, they've been real, and it shows. Their children, though they have to make their own decisions, but their four children are serving the Lord by the grace of God. And I think a lot of that goes back to the consistency of a loving parents that just stayed faithful and remained faithful. And it means something. And again, one of those kids could take a left turn at any time. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying it really does help. It makes a difference. And if you have a child that's wayward, making some bad decisions, stay consistent. Don't get bitter at them. Don't be resentful. Don't be hateful. Stay the line and let God do a work in their life. Keep praying for them. Keep loving them. Keep pointing them in the right direction. You'll have plenty of opportunities to say, and you need to say it with love, but I told you so. I heard it. Most of us have. But we see determination. C.T. Studd said this, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. He just had a determination that I'm not going to let anything stop me. And I'm thankful to see, as I look across this Sunday night, I don't say this to puff you up. I don't say this I hope you don't get prideful in this, but I am moved with encouragement, because I see a determination just to seek to be faithful, to be under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and to be with God's people on a Sunday night. You could have easily stayed at home and done probably 100 different things, but you saw, you know what, I'm going to be determined just to be at my church and hear the Word of God and to sing the praises of God. And just make that a habit. And that will impact those around us. We don't do it out of duty. I hope you're not here out of duty in the sense of just trying to get a check off. But I hope you're here primarily because you love Him and you want to know Him and love Him better. Fifthly here, we see not only do we serve Him in truth and love and joy and determination, but in humility. We serve the Lord in humility. This is a lowly position to serve the Lord. Joshua led the children of Israel, but he did it in a humble way. He was a servant to them. That's why he was called a servant by God. He really was. I guess you're not really truly identified as a servant of the Lord unless the Lord identifies you as a servant. I said something about putting that on my grave marker, but I honestly would not want anybody to put on that if I had not lived for God Almighty. If I had not served Him. But, you know, that's what Jesus did. He came. The Bible says that Jesus came not to be what? Served. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus came to take the lowly position. And this is what I have found in my life. Now, some of you may not agree with this, but this is what I found about the heart of Brinson Jennings. I'm all about being a servant until I'm treated like one. That's just me. Maybe you agree, but that's just our heart. That's our human heart. But may God help me to be a servant because I love the Lord Jesus. And He was a servant to me. He served me with His precious life on Calvary. He would have washed my feet if I'd have been there with the disciples. Those feet represent your feet. That was the heart of Jesus Christ. He came to serve us with His life. And He says, listen, no servant is above his master. He says, they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. You're going to be going through things in life. And we need to understand that, boy, as we serve as believers and we want to impact the next generation, let's serve the next generation. Let's connect with them. Let's love them and help them and walk with them and forgive and forgive and forgive. And hopefully they'll forgive us and forgive us and forgive us. But we'll be real with each other and we'll love the Lord together is our prayer. There's a sense of humility there. There's a sense of humility understanding a certain amount of patience with our young people to say, you know, I was once there. I remember making those decisions. I'm telling you right now, listen, if she does, it's not going to be good. But I just hope and pray that my mom will not even tell a fourth of the stories of how bad I was when I was my kid's age. I'm surprised I got ears, folks. I'm not kidding. My mom, I can remember her mom would be in the passenger seat and I'd be sitting in the back and I'd start whining and I'd smart off to her. Boy, my mom just had this supernatural aim. She didn't even have to look. She was driving down the road. Boy, that arm would come around and it would just like a magnet strike get my ear right where it was and she would twist. I'd say, ow! Thinking that would help her. I used to do that in grocery stores. She'd grab me and start pinching. I'd say, ow, as loud as I could. Ow! You know what? She didn't care. I'm telling you, I was bad. Now, kids, don't you get any ideas. God saved me. But, you know, I say that to be funny, but I say it at the serious time. I'm preaching to Brinson tonight. Maybe you're getting some of this. But we need to be patient, humble, realize I've been there. I've made some of those same mistakes. And pray, God, have mercy. Help them, Lord, to see it. And they may have to find out the hard way, and you be there for them when they do find out. When they find out, you be there for them. And you love them. And you show that humility that there's none of us above falling. And God's going to help us when we serve the Lord in humility. God resisteth the proud. It makes him sick. He don't even want to be around the proud people. But oh, it says he giveth grace to the humble. He pours out his grace all over those people that are humble. And oh, it is so wonderful when we walk in humility because God just pours his grace all over us. Oh, what a blessing. You thankful for the grace of God tonight? Any grace that you have experienced from God, it is because you have in some way humbled yourself before him. Simply saying, Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but I'm thankful for it. Just really bringing ourselves before the Lord. I personally believe that that will help us impact the next generation. Authentic Christianity, realness, genuine. Just serving in truth, serving in love, serving in joy, serving in determination, and serving in humility. From July 26th to August the 7th, 1971. I was not alive there, just for the record. Who was 1971? Okay, about half of you. What happened then, somebody that was alive? Anybody? All right, I'll tell you. The eyes of millions of Americans were on the Apollo 15 moon mission. You may remember the astronauts David R. Scott and James B. Irwin, who landed on the moon and spent 18 of their 66 hours there outside the spacecraft. They covered over 17 miles of the surface in a specialized vehicle people called the moon buggy. Upon returning to Earth, James Irwin, a professed Christian believer, declared, "As I was returning, I realized that I am not a celebrity, but a servant. So I am here as God's servant on planet Earth to share what I have experienced, that others may know the glory of God." Now, most of us will never attain to that type of status of James B. Irwin, but all of us can have a heart that wants to serve God with every being that we have. My friends, I'm telling you, we'll see this world turned upside down for Christ in our communities if we will allow this to be true in each of our lives. So pray for me. Pray for me as your pastor. I say that genuinely, that I would serve in these five ways. And I'll pray for you. Let's pray for one another. And let's see God bring a spirit of revival through this local church. And let's see a generation impacted for Christ. I look upon not just my children, but other children here tonight. I saw all those 25. How many we have this morning, Brother Arthur? It's at least 20. Between 25 and 30 young people go out for junior church. I'm thankful for that. That's the next generation. That's the ones I really want to have an impact on, you too. But those folks are going to be the next generation. And may we give them something to hang their hat on as we serve the Lord. And they realize that, hey, this thing, this Christianity thing, it's no joke. It's not just a religion. It's real. Mom and Daddy are real. Not perfect, but God is making a difference. Let's not be like that generation, be guilty of the generation that knew not God, did not know of Him, had not heard of the great things God has done. I've challenged you this before. Maybe it was 3 years ago. But can I leave you with a challenge tonight? Can you, through email, text, or call in the next week, would you share with your children or grandchildren or a coworker or maybe a young person at school Would you share with them what God has done in your life? Share how good God is. Tell them how grateful you are for how God has provided His grace in your life through the years. Rehearse those things. Don't let them ever get old. Rejoice in them. They're real, aren't they? They're real. God's real to you, isn't He? You share that. God will use it. And I hope He'll use it in this church. I was so moved by the testimonies a week ago. The Davises and the Brands stood here and gave testimony. I was so moved that I believe the Holy Spirit would have us do that more often. Just let folks get up here and testify of who God is and what God has done for them. It makes a difference. I was encouraged. Were you encouraged? Amen. I heard several comments afterwards how it just blessed them. That's what it'll do for the young people. It sure will. Well, let's pray. Father, I need You, Lord. I need Your help in this. I want to serve in these five ways. I pray that my children will see, Lord, that I have been saved by Your grace, and the children around me, the difference You have made in my life and who You are. I pray that I would not pastor this church or be a Christian, but just for convenience sake or for popularity's sake or for a paycheck. God, oh God, help me. Help the flock, the people, Your people, to love and serve You in sincerity and in truth. Help them, Lord, to be humble and joyful and to be dedicated to love You supremely and to live for You faithfully. We cannot do it, Lord, apart from Your divine intervention, the power of the Holy Spirit. So we yield afresh and we claim that verse that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Lord Jesus, bless now in this invitation time. With heads bowed.